Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. For steps, for swim lesson, or for sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Yes, indeed. And this morning, I am joined from the University of Minnesota, Mary Myers, answering those questions today. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Wonderful to hear your voice and great to talk about gardening.
Yes, and we're going to be, I know we and our listeners will be talking about this unusual weather we've been having, and we were talking at home here last night about, you know, these record-breaking temperatures, and I'm thinking this shoe's going to drop, or there's going to be a payoff at the other end, especially if we don't get any moisture. In fact, we're already getting a couple of questions about trees. I'm thinking our trees are going to be hurt this year, our shrubs, our lawns. What do you think?
Well, they could be. We certainly did have dry conditions going into the winter, and then, yes, very, very little snowfall. The good news is I can hardly believe I'm saying this, but there's hardly any frost in the ground.
Right.
So that the moisture that we did have this past week went into the soil. So normally, if the ground was frozen, the rain would just run off, but it was able to go into the soil. So as amazing as that is for February in Minnesota, if we do get some moisture, hopefully it will go into the soil instead of running off. Yes, it's a little early to say. Fortunately, I think most trees are still pretty much holding their dormancy. And if we have more normal temperatures for a month or so, that will help things. But yes, we cannot sustain 50 degrees very much longer.
And we've got a couple of text messages, Mary, just summarizing. It's basically, it doesn't say exactly what type of evergreen pine trees these are. But they're having, I don't know, stress-looking, dropping needles brown. And this is not the first week I've been seeing this. What's going on, or what could be going on with these particular trees, do you think?
I think that's a function of the dry conditions. And just as dry as it was into the fall, it just did not rain. We had very little moisture, way behind what we, somewhere between 5 and 10 inches behind in our normal moisture. So I think there's a lot of the way plants compensate is they drop some of their foliage. And so with evergreens, because they've got their foliage on year round, they are likely to show more of the drought stress.
Okay. If you'd like to get involved in our lawn and garden talk here, just call us or text us, whichever is easier for you. If you want to call Mary or send Mary a text, one number to remember is 651-461-9226. Also remember, especially if you're a usual listener to the show, a regular listener, you know we tend to get really busy this hour, very, very, very busy hour. So call or text now. Like we say, sooner rather than later. All right, here's another text, Mary. My sunburst locust tree sends up unsightly shoots all over my yard. Can anything be done to prevent this? I've tried spraying each shoot with a product designed for this, but that's kind of expensive and impractical.
Yes, I wouldn't use any chemical control on that. That suckering from the roots is normal with locust trees. Some plants just want to grow. You know, they're using any free opportunity they can. So they do have a lot of buds all along the root system that will put shoots up. I have this tree in my front yard. And yes, I do have to cut it off. Now, most of my yard underneath this tree is lawn. So if you have a lawnmower, obviously that's going to keep it in bounds. But 20, 30 feet away, those shoots will come up in my flower beds. And so I just cut those off. Using a chemical control could weaken your whole tree because that chemical could be taken up into the roots and really weaken the whole tree. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Mary, I'm thinking of all the questions we've received about this season and last season, for that matter, about dormant seeding. Is there any chance, and maybe not because of the colder overnight temps, of any of this grass seed, lawn seed germinating?
Not yet. I don't think so. Although we have these warmer air temperatures, the soil is a great buffer. And so the soil tends to hold a more consistent temperature. It's been freezing. The top of it, you know, if you try to put a shovel in your soil here in central Minnesota, you could probably get a shovel in. Maybe not in some areas. It northern side might of your home might still be frozen, where the south side might not be. So as long as the soil is 40 degrees, 30 degrees, etc., that seed is not going to germinate. It really needs conditions closer to 70 degrees to germinate. And so I think dormant seeding, this year has been the most amazing year for almost continuous dormant seeding. In fact, if callers are finding a bag of lawn seed in their garage that they did not get a chance to do it, you probably could still do it now. You want good seed soil contact, and then if you can use some type of a straw mulch or a mulch on top of it to keep the seed in place, that's a good idea. But I can't believe conditions have allowed us to dormant seed from November, December, January, February. You know, you could still do it.
It really is amazing. In fact, I have some grass seed left over. I think before the end of the week, I'll do that. Looking at the forecast, Mary, the overnight lows this week right through Friday are going to be about 24, 25 degrees for overnight lows. So that may help. And maybe small chances of snow and or rain. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Rita, I believe, calling in from Woodbury this morning. Hi, Rita. What's your question for Mary?
Hi, I kind of have a two-part question, and I don't know if you've addressed this at all, but I have a, I believe, a choke cherry tree, and I know this is the time of year to trim it so it doesn't get cherry tree, and I know this is the time of year to trim it so it doesn't get disease and so forth, but I'm concerned about the warm weather, you know, if, because I did hear that there's a possibility that they could be at risk for disease since we've had such warm weather. And then the other question is, if it is okay to trim it, how much is a safe amount to trim?
Okay, Rita, I think, yes, you can go ahead and prune your choke cherry tree now. That is a native in the Prunus family, and it's a wonderful plant, has berries that attract a lot of birds. We don't usually eat those seeds, but birds really love them. As far as how much you can prune off of it, one-third is really a good rule of thumb in pruning, especially if you don't have another purpose in mind, taking off one-third of it. Any branches that are dead, any branches that are rubbing against each other, any that are kind of growing on top of each other are good ones to prune out. So, yes, you can go ahead and do it, and this is a good time to do it.
All right, very good. On that note, let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Call or text 651-461-9226. Our Twin City temperature reading, we're at 27 right now. We expect highs today near 36 and maybe near 39 tomorrow. Again, 27 here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Our thanks to folks like Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today for you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Bunch of texts just came in just before the break, Mary. Here's one. It says, I'm seeing pussy willows for sale. Can these be grown successfully indoors?
Grown indoors, well, they might root in water. Pussy willows are part of the Salix or willow family. This is a native shrub. I've actually been trying to grow pussy willows myself, and I wish more nurseries would sell them because they're very hard to find the plants in the garden center. But you can, if they're in water, they might root in water. I've had better luck with them actually rooting in soil. If you have a rooting hormone, which you can actually stimulate roots to grow and plant them in soil, I think you'll have a better luck than in water. But you might get lucky and have them root in water. And, of course, that's what pussy willows are for sale now at garden centers because of their spring appearance. We should plant more pussy willows because they are one of the first things to flower, and they're pollen food for bees early in the spring.
Are they really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Good question then. Texter says, is the temperature too warm for winter milk jug seeding? And maybe before you answer that, could you explain for listeners who don't know what is milk jug seeding? What is that about?
Oh, yes, milk jug seeding. My gosh, I was thinking about this week. And first I thought, okay, I think I'm going to start a couple. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, I didn't save any milk jugs yet. So these gallon plastic containers that milk come in are wonderful for starting seeds. And you kind of cut them in half. Cut them in half and you sow seeds in the bottom, and then you tape up the jug and then set it outside. So you put it outside, the hole in the top is open, and you've watered the soil when you planted the seed. And then depending on the temperature outside, this seed will start to germinate. Now our cool season crops like kale, lettuce, peas are what I sow in these. And it's a little early, I think, to do it now, but you could do it any time. They won't grow. Seeds won't start growing until it gets warm. But first you have to save your milk containers, and then you have to decide, oh my gosh, have I got any seed? What seed is left from last year? And then think about buying new seed. But it's certainly something we can think about. On the Extension website, we have the seed starting guide, and in February, you can start leeks, onions, celery, and once we get into March, just a couple weeks away, we can start broccoli, cabbage, lettuce, cauliflower. So, yes, time to start thinking about sowing seeds.
And as far as the milk jugs themselves, would you kind of make a slice, and do you make it kind of like a hinge, like the top? How do you do that?
You take almost 3/4 or 7/8 of it, a slice. So yes, you just have a hinge. So you bend the whole top of it back. So yeah, you just have a little corner that you leave attached. You bend the whole top of it back, so you have the open bottom. So put your soil in there and your seeds in there, and then you put the hinge back down, put the top back down, and put masking tape around it. So you tape it together and then set it outside. I did 3 or 4 of those last year, and it's really fun. Once they start to germinate and grow, Yeah, you have your first greens, microgreens, and you can then use those, transplant those seedlings into your garden.
All right, sounds like fun. I've yet to try it myself, maybe this season. Another text says this, Mary: we've trimmed evergreen limbs from the ground up a few feet. Will it be hard to get grass seed to germinate in this soil come spring?
It really depends on how much light is in there under the evergreens. This is a challenge area. So people usually think lawn seed, but you could try lawn seed. You want to use the fine fescues that are more shade tolerant. If that doesn't work, I would really think about using some ground covers. Hosta often compete quite well under trees, even under evergreens. But there are other ground covers that you can plant. Vinca, some of the geraniums. There are native geraniums and other perennial geraniums that do very well with dry conditions like that and shade. So if you don't have to walk under that tree or really want grass there, think about ground cover as well.
If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for us this morning at 651-461-9226. Here's one I don't think we've had before, Mary. Texter says, I shredded my 2023 medical statements. Can I put this fine shredded paper in my compost?
Just regular paper. Yeah, I guess you could do that. I think that wouldn't be any problem. Sometimes we're concerned about the type of ink that's used on paper, but I don't think there's any heavy metals anymore in most of our inks. So yeah, it's shredded up. It should be. Yeah, you've got to think about the proportion of what else you're putting into your compost. You know, 100% shredded paper is not going to do much out there. So you need to have some soil. You need to have some green organic matter as well.
That's a good point. Another text says this: I need to build up a couple of spots in my yard, about 4 square feet. Can I add 3 or 4 inches of soil without removing the existing grass and then put grass seed on top of that?
Yeah, this sounds like building a raised bed almost. You can do this. It won't hurt anything as long as you're not putting this on top of tree roots. You know, the trees have established their oxygen and moisture level. They've got their roots right up there on the top. If you cover up tree roots with 3 or 4 inches of soil and you do it a large area, you can kill a tree. But if there are no tree roots issues around and you just want to raise up the area and then plant seed on top of it, yes, I don't think you'll hurt anything there. Obviously, the grass is going to die that you down in the bottom, but you're going to plant new grass. So,
all right, very good.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of people doing that. Maybe this week, in fact. Yeah. rabbits or deer? This texture says stripped some bark off my pear tree. I was planning on pruning it this winter, but wonder if this is still okay. Will it stress the tree?
Pruning, no, you can go ahead and prune the tree, but, you know, what you're describing sounds like the tree might be really severely damaged. You might want to wait and see what's alive with this tree and then do the pruning. But if it's an older tree, a big older tree, pruning probably will not hurt it. The younger it is, the more likely there's some damage. And rabbits really love the fruit trees. So a physical barrier, if you don't have a physical barrier and they come in and eat the bark off the tree, that can be really devastating. Sometimes the trees will actually leaf out and start to grow, and then they die because there's just not that flow of water, nutrients and water from the roots. But depending on the size, you could prune a little now, or you might want to wait and see what's alive.
Very good. Mary, let's take a break. Quick one for weather, see what that forecast calls for this coming week. In the meantime, when we come back, too, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the Arboretum and answering more lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. 27 degrees. We'll have a look at that forecast next. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Mary Meyer from the U of M joining us today, answering your lawn and garden type of questions. And we have, as usual, Mary, a bunch of them. But before we get to them, you and I and Mary and Teresa always like to mention the Arboretum, the Landscape Arboretum. Great place to visit, great place to bring family and friends. What's going on? I mean, we've had above normal temperatures, but cold or warm, lots going on at the Arboretum.
Yes, lots going on at the Arboretum, Denny. This is the month for the flower show out at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. This is a wonderful, beautiful event. We could see lots of beautiful flowers. It's inside, so everything looks great and wonderful. You can eat at the cafe, look at some of the gallery, but certainly filled with flowers. There's lots of interesting information about the history of the Arboretum, some great photos along with beautiful flowers that you can see. So this flower show is included with admission. Members, if you're a member of the Arboretum, you still need to get a ticket, but the flower show is free with admission into the Arboretum, so there's plenty of tickets available. There are teas, there are some other events after hours with flowers, etc., some yoga. I think there's a yoga event tomorrow at the Arboretum. Wonderful to see that flower show indoors and think of spring, but still great to walk outside. The trails are open, good conditions on the 3 mile walk around the Arboretum. So, yes, beautiful area to walk in.
And if you're planning on going, and I hope you do, you have to make reservations online, and it makes it so easy.
Right. It's very easy, and every half hour there are several hundred tickets available, so no problem in getting a ticket. Just do that in advance, and then, yes.
All right.
Easy to do.
Get to the Arboretum, head west on Highway 5 to 41, and you're just about there. Texter says this, Mary. With the weather forecast over the next couple of weeks, would it be beneficial to hang a sap-catching bag on my maple tree today?
Yes. So sap has already started to be collected. The Arboretum has collected over 1,000 gallons of sap already this year. Amazing. This is something we normally think happens in March, but really started in February this year. So this all depends on the temperature and the differential between the day and nighttime temperatures. So warm days, cold nights really helps the sap flow. And maples, of course, have the highest percent sugar in their sap. The Arboretum also taps birch and black walnuts, and the syrup is sold there at the Arboretum. So, yes, you can try it out now for your maple trees.
All right. We talk about bee lawns here on the show a lot. This texter says, can a bee lawn be started now with dormant overseeding on a sparse lawn? If not, when is a good time to seed a bee lawn without removing the existing lawn?
Aha, without removing the existing lawn, yes. Well, that's kind of a challenge because in order for the seed to grow, you have to have contact with soil. And if there isn't exposed soil there, it's going to be tough for any seed to germinate. The fine fescues that are recommended with a bee lawn, yes, you can dormant seed those. But the flowers that are in a bee lawn, creeping thyme and clover, those germinate better in June, in the springtime. So it's kind of a mixed bag to do both of those right now. We have a lot of information on that, flowering lawns and bee lawns, up on the extension.umn.edu website, and you can read about the timing of that. We actually did demonstrations on how to start, what the best way is to start seed, bee lawn seeds. Those demonstration plots are still out at the Arboretum. But we found that either you had to completely renovate your soil, get rid of what's there, or you had to really mow down to almost the bare soil, take off most of what's there, and then aerate it, and then seed into that. So you've got to do some work to get that soil exposed.
All right. A labor of love. Okay.
Right.
Let's grab a phone call. Maddie's calling in this morning from Coon Rapids, I believe. Maddie, good morning. What is your question for Mary?
I have little white spots all over 2 points that is in a tomato plant that I brought in. And when I go close, the spots fly. They're like little white flies, and they look like powder all over the red leaves of the poinsettias.
Oh, Maddie, you have white flies. Yes, they are exactly like you describe, right? That is an insect that likes certain plants, and when you have it in your house, it can be kind of difficult to control. So I would say that insecticidal soap is the best thing you can try to spray this with. You can buy that at the garden centers, and you spray that on the foliage of your plants that have white flies, especially the underside of the leaf, because the immature form doesn't fly, but it's sitting there tiny on the underside of the leaf. So spraying that with insecticidal soap, follow the directions that are on the label. You'll probably have to do it two or three times at intervals of 7 to 10 days to try to eliminate the white flies.
You know, Mary, well, we haven't mentioned this hour, and we always like to do that because there's so much information on the university website, extension.umn.edu. I know we don't have 3 days for you to explain what all is on there, but there's so much information on there, isn't there?
Oh, there's a lot of information, because you can start with what insect is this, what weed is this, what's wrong with my plant, depending on, as long as you know the kind of plant you have, you can determine what's wrong with my plant. You know, the first question we had was pine stress and yellow foliage on pine. So if that's all you know, you can start looking at what could be the problem with your pines. And then it goes through choices of questions and pictures you can look at to determine what's wrong with your pines. The same way with this white fly issue, you could look up white flies on tomatoes, and then you could see a picture and see if that's looks like what you have. So extension.umn.edu, a great resource.
Really is. Texter says, good morning. Good morning. I've had my amaryllis out of a dark room for about 3 weeks now. I'm getting beautiful green leaves, but no blooms. Is there a chance it may not bloom this year, and should I fertilize it?
Yes, you can fertilize it. It takes 6 to 8 weeks for an amaryllis to bloom. So it could be that it will still go ahead and bloom. If this is an amaryllis you saved from last year and it isn't a brand new one, I think the text started out by saying I brought it up or it started to grow. If it's one you had last year, it might not bloom because it might not have stored enough food to actually bloom. So it's a challenge. We try to do this to have them rebloom for us, but if you need to put it outside, it's got to get a lot of light for 2-3 months in the summer to store enough food for it to bloom again.
Okay. This listener, Mary, says, I have two reblooming lilac bushes, and I want to know, when is the best time of the year to trim them? They bloom approximately 3 to 4 times throughout the spring to fall.
wow, this person is really lucky, because a lot of these re-blooming lilacs don't really bloom very much. They'll bloom in the spring, and then they'll have a few blooms here and there. So this is a challenge, because normally we prune lilacs right after they bloom. Right after they bloom in the spring, if you prune them, then you're not going to cut off the blooms for next year. But the re-blooming ones tend to form buds, and they come out again, and buds, and they come out again. So it's hard to recommend pruning on a re-blooming lilac, because you're always going to be cutting off some of the blooms. So I would still say after the first bloom in the spring, prune it then. But I wouldn't do a lot of it, because a lot of pruning, because you'll cut off more of the flowers.
This next texter, Mary, has a vole problem this in the winter. They would like to do some dormant grass seeding this week, but do you think the voles, do they eat the seed?
Yes, they might eat the seed. They are vegetable eaters, so they eat plants and seed, and they like grass. They eat a lot of grass roots and grass crowns. So we often see vole tunnels, right, on not moles, but voles actually make a tunnel, and you see the depression where moles push up the soil from underneath. Voles are kind of like mice as far as treatments. You see the depression where moles push up the soil from underneath. Voles are kind of like mice as far as treatments go, traps, baits, and so on. The same thing you'd use for controlling mice. But the habitat, if you provide a habitat where they can hide in and lots of food, they really like that. So that's kind of a challenge, putting down seed that that the voles might eat.
Yeah, I should say.
Yeah.
Oh, a buffet. Okay. We need to take a break, Mary. Let's do that and come back on the other side. We have some remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Yes, indeed. And you can use that very number for a phone call or a text message to Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions today here on our Smart Garden Show. And we still have a bunch, Mary, so let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave today. Hi, Mary. This one says, can I still prune maple and apple trees this month, or is it too late with this odd weather this year?
You can still do that. It is it's a good time to prune trees, apple trees, yes, and maples. Now, we talked a little about the sap running in maples, so you might see some sap come out after pruning. But if it stays cool, especially cold during the daytime, you won't see the sap run. That doesn't really hurt the tree, but this is a good time of year to do pruning.
Earlier in the show, just a while back, we talked about those milk jugs and, you know, starting seed in those. And this listener offered this, that he or she likes to winter sow in salad containers, too.
So yes, that can work as well. Yep, either one. You could try it out. They're a little small. The salad containers are a little small. They might have a tendency to dry out, but it's worth a try. Yep.
We had an earlier question about building up the ground with 3 or 4 inches of soil. This listener says, here's a kind of a follow-up to that. Where this is where parts of some of their river birch roots are on top of the mulch surrounding the tree and the lawn outside of the mulched area. An arborist told me, a texter says, that they should be covered with soil. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, because they're not totally exposed. You could just see the tops, the ridges of them. And some plants just like that better. I mean, there's more oxygen. There's more water. We've had such a lack of water, but tree roots really are basically in the top foot or two of soil, and they like it. Their conditions are better. So covering it up, covering the tree roots up with more soil changes that oxygen availability and can really suffocate roots. So you have to be really careful doing that. An inch, 2 inches at the very most, but the best thing is don't do it at all.
Okay. This listener says this, Mary. I am planting a pollinator's backyard, but my apple tree needs to be treated with a fungicide. Is this okay? The treatment is twice in the spring only.
So I imagine this fungicide is for apple scab, which is the fungal diseases. And that should not affect the pollinators. So if that's the only thing that's in the treatment that you're doing and no insecticides, that should be okay.
Okay. Another text just came in. The person who aerated my lawn also does slit seeding. Is that a good idea? That's one question. It might be the only one. He also talked about using a more tolerant seed next to the street, which is a very common problem, probably because of the salt and the snowplow treatment and all of that. So as far as aeration and slit seeding, is that a good idea?
Yes. Yes, that's a great idea. Few homeowners have access to either of those equipment that will do that. But yes, they're both very good. Aeration puts the holes in the soil and reduces compaction. And then slit seeding actually makes a slit in the soil, puts a seed in there so it has good seed-soil contact. And yes, using different types of seed along where salt is prevalent. Kentucky bluegrass, especially sensitive to salt. So not using that near the salt areas is a good idea.
Okay. You've kind of addressed this a couple different times, but a listener may have joined us a little late. Good morning. This texter says, I have a crabapple tree that needs pruning, trimming, because it has tree suckers / water sprouts all over it. With this crazy weather, can I still trim it?
Yes, you can still trim it. And yes, we do see certain trees have a tendency to sucker and put out a lot of what are called water shoots or shoots near the base. Yes, you can prune those off now.
Okay. This listener said, I just heard you mention the possibility of having syrup from black walnut trees. Can you also get some from white walnut and butternut trees?
You can. What it's going to taste like and how easy it is are challenges, though, because the sugar proportion is very low in anything other than the maples. So you need a lot more sap to boil that down to get to sugar. And then what it will taste like might not be as desirable. The black walnut syrup is very interesting to taste. It has more of a nutty taste to it and hints of black walnut. I have not tasted any other syrup. I haven't tasted the birch or anything that would be from the other nuts. You can try it, but you're going to need a huge amount. You know, it's 40 gallons of maple sap to get 1 gallon of syrup. And so it's probably closer to 50 or 60 gallons of these other types of sap. That's a lot.
That's quite a ratio. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
My goodness. People love it, though. This listener, do we have time? Yes, we do. This listener wants to know, could you explain the care for amaryllis?
Yeah, so amaryllis need a lot of light. And that when they're new, the bulb is wonderful. It's got a big bud in there, and they'll always bloom when you buy them brand new. But after they flower, to getting them to reflower, they need a lot of light and several months of good, bright light conditions. So in the summertime, if you can put the bulbs outside, that's great. You can give them a dormant period. You can bring them inside like October 1st or something and let them be dormant in a cool basement placement for October and November. And then December 1st, you start watering them again. And 6 to 8 weeks later, they will flower if they've had enough light the previous summer.
Okay. Finally, a listener wants to know, does the University of Minnesota website you talk about, we talk about, have information about caring for lawns? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of it. We have the lawn calendar. Julie's done a great job with that, with, yes, what to do every month of the year with your lawn. Lots of great information. And, yes, yep, lots of information on turf at extension.umn.edu.
And if you're looking for trees, of course, heading to the Arboretum various times of the year is, you know, to see it in, you know, real life at different times of the year is great. But if you need, like, someone's looking for various trees, and I would suggest to them that they check out the U of M website, because that's another resource there, isn't it?
Yes. There's lots of information on tree selection. So many of us have to take down the ash trees and on our property, and you really have to think about replacement trees. So we want to have diversity. We want to have a large number of different trees in our landscape. So everyone should really kind of know, how many different trees do I have on my property now? Which ones are not there? I mean, the oaks, maples are wonderful. We had questions about the honey locust. That's a great tree. Pussy willows, those are great to plant. Choke cherry, that call came in today. These are all great trees to plant.
Yeah.
I put a elm. I put a St. Croix elm in on my property because it's resistant to Dutch elm, and it's grown really wonderfully in just a few years.
That's great.
Replacement trees, great to think about.
Do it today. Or sometime soon. Mary, thank you. Always a pleasure. I know we'll talk soon, and you have a good week, will you?
You too, Denny. Great to hear your voice and talk about gardening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Mary Meyer from the U of M. Now, get those deck questions or any other kind of a home improvement question you may have. Luke Panic, the deck and port specialist from Linda's Construction, coming up next hour. So lots of deck talk next hour here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Please stay with us.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first, for steps, for swim lesson, or for sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, indeed. And this morning, I am joined from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is answering those questions today. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Wonderful to hear your voice and great to talk about gardening.
Yes, and we're going to be, I know we and our listeners will be talking about this unusual weather we've been having. And we were talking at home here last night about, you know, these record-breaking temperatures. And I'm thinking there's, you know, this shoe's going to drop, or there's going to be a payoff at the other end, especially if we don't get any moisture. In fact, we're already getting a couple of questions about trees. I'm thinking our trees are going to be hurt this year, our shrubs, our lawns. What do you think?
Well, they could be. We certainly did have dry conditions going into the winter, and then, yes, very, very little snowfall. The good news is I can hardly believe I'm saying this, but there's hardly any frost in the ground.
Right.
So that the moisture that we did have this past week went into the soil. So normally, if the ground was frozen, the rain would just run off, but it was able to go into the soil. So as amazing as that is for February in Minnesota, if we do get some moisture, hopefully it will go into the soil instead of running off. Yes, it's a little early to say. Fortunately, I think most trees are still pretty much holding their dormancy. And if we have more normal temperatures for a month or so, that will help things. But yes, if we cannot sustain 50 degrees very much longer.
And we've got a couple of text messages, Mary, just to summarizing. It's basically, it doesn't say exactly what type of evergreen pine trees these are. But they're having, I don't know, stress looking, dropping needles brown. This is not the first week I've been seeing this. What's going on, or what could be going on with these particular trees, do you think?
I think that's a function of the dry conditions. And just as dry as it was into the fall, it just did not rain. We had very little moisture, way behind what we, somewhere between 5 and 10 inches behind in our normal moisture. So I think there's a lot of the way plants compensate is they drop some of their foliage. And so with evergreens, because they've got their foliage on year round, they are likely to show more of the drought stress.
Okay. If you'd like to get involved in our lawn and garden talk here, just call us or text us, whichever is easier for you. If you want to call Mary or send Mary a text, one number to remember is 651-461-9226. Also remember, especially if you're a usual listener to the show, a regular listener, you know we tend to get really busy this hour, very, very, very busy hour. So call or text now. Like we say, sooner rather than later. All right, here's another text, Mary. My sunburst locust tree sends up unsightly shoots all over my yard. Can anything be done to prevent this? I've tried spraying each shoot with a product designed for this, but that's kind of expensive and impractical.
Yes, I wouldn't use any chemical control on that. That suckering from the roots is normal with locust trees. Some plants just want to grow. You know, they're using any free opportunity they can. So they do have a lot of buds all along the root system that will put shoots up. I have this tree in my front yard, and yes, I do have to cut it off. Now, most of my yard underneath this tree is lawn. So if you have a lawnmower, obviously that's going to keep it in bounds. But 20, 30 feet away, those shoots will come up in my flower beds. And so I just cut those off. Using a chemical control could weaken your whole tree, because that chemical could be taken up into the roots and really weaken the whole tree. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Mary, I'm thinking of all the questions we've received about this season, and last season for that matter, about dormant seeding. Is there any chance, and maybe not because of the colder overnight temps, of any of this grass seed, lawn seed germinating?
Not yet. I don't think so. Although we have these warmer air temperatures, the soil is a great buffer. And so the soil tends to hold a more consistent temperature. It's been freezing. The top of it, you know, if you try to put a shovel in your soil here in central Minnesota, you could probably get a shovel in. Maybe not in some areas. Northern side of your home might still be frozen, where the south side might not be. So as long as the soil is 40 degrees, 30 degrees, etc., that seed is not going to germinate. It really needs conditions closer to 70 degrees to germinate. And so I think dormant seeding this year has been the most amazing year for almost continuous dormant seeding. In fact, if callers are finding a bag of lawn seed in their garage that they did not get a chance to do it, you probably could still do it now. You want good seed soil contact, and then if you can use some type of a straw mulch or a mulch on top of it to keep the seed in place, that's a good idea. But I can't believe conditions have allowed us to dormant seed from November, December, January, February. You know, you could still do it.
It really is amazing. In fact, I have some grass seed left over. I think before the end of the week, I'll do that. Looking at the forecast, Mary, the overnight lows this week right through Friday are going to be about 24, 25 degrees for overnight lows. So that may help. And maybe small chances of snow and or rain. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Rita, I believe, calling in from Woodbury this morning. Hi, Rita. What's your question for Mary?
Hi, I kind of have a two-part question, and I don't know if you've addressed this at all, but I have a choke cherry tree, and I know this is the time of year to trim it so it doesn't get cherry tree, and I know this is the time of year to trim it so it doesn't get disease and so forth, but I'm concerned about the warm weather, you know, because I did hear that there's a possibility that they could be at risk for disease since we've had such warm weather. And then the other question is, if it is okay to trim it, how much is a safe amount to trim?
Okay, Rita, I think, yes, you can go ahead and prune your choke cherry tree now. That is a native in the Prunus family, and it's a wonderful plant, has berries that attract a lot of birds. We don't usually eat those seeds, but birds really love them. As far as how much you can prune off of it, one-third is really a good rule of thumb in pruning, especially if you don't have another purpose in mind, taking off one-third of it. Any branches that are dead, any branches that are rubbing against each other, any that are kind of growing on top of each other are good ones to prune out. So, yes, you can go ahead and do it, and this is a good time to do it.
All right, very good. On that note, let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Call or text 651-461-9226. Our Twin City temperature reading, we're at 27 right now. We expect highs today near 36 and maybe near 39 tomorrow. Again, 27 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Our thanks to folks like Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today for you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Bunch of texts just came in just before the break, Mary. Here's one. It says, I'm seeing pussy willows for sale. Can these be grown successfully indoors?
Grown indoors, well, they might root in water. Pussy willows are part of the Salix or willow family. This is a native shrub. I've actually been trying to grow pussy willows myself, and I wish more nurseries would sell them because they're very hard to find the plants in the garden center. But you can, if they're in water, they might root in water. I've had better luck with them actually rooting in soil. If you have a rooting hormone, which you can actually stimulate roots to grow and plant them in soil, I think you'll have a better luck than in water. But you might get lucky and have them root in water. And, of course, that's what pussy willows are for sale now at garden centers because of their spring appearance. We should plant more pussy willows because they are one of the first things to flower, and they're pollen food for bees early in the spring.
Are they really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Good question then. Is the temperature too warm for winter milk jug seeding? And maybe before you answer that, could you explain for listeners who don't know what is milk jug seeding? What is that about?
Oh, yes, milk jug seeding. My gosh, I was thinking about this week. And first I thought, okay, I think I'm going to start a couple. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, I didn't save any milk jugs yet. So these gallon plastic containers that milk come in are wonderful for starting seeds. And you kind of cut them in half and you sow seeds in the bottom, and then you tape up the jug and then set it outside. So you put it outside, the hole in the top is open, and you've watered the soil when you planted the seed. And then depending on the temperature outside, this seed will start to germinate. Now our cool season crops like kale, lettuce, peas are what I sow in these. And it's a little early, I think, to do it now, but you could do it any time. They won't grow. Seeds won't start growing until it gets warm. But first you have to save your milk containers, and then you have to decide, oh my gosh, have I got any seed? What seed is left from last year? And then think about buying new seed. But it's certainly something we can think about. On the Extension website, we have the seed starting guide, and in February, you can start leeks, onions, celery, and once we get into March, just a couple weeks away, we can start broccoli, cabbage, lettuce, cauliflower. So, yes, time to start thinking about sowing seeds.
And as far as the milk jugs themselves, would you kind of make a slice, and do you make it kind of like a hinge, like the top? How do you do that?
You take almost 3/4 or 7/8 of it, a slice. So yes, you just have a hinge. So you bend the whole top of it back. So yeah, you just have a little corner that you leave attached. You bend the whole top of it back, so you have the open bottom. So put your soil in there and your seeds in there, and then you put the hinge back down, put the top back down, and put masking tape around it. So you tape it together and then set it outside. I did 3 or 4 of those last year, and it's really fun. Once they start to germinate and grow, you have your first greens, microgreens, and you can then transplant those seedlings into your garden.
All right. Sounds like fun. I've yet to try it myself, maybe this season. Another text says this, Mary: we've trimmed evergreen limbs from the ground up a few feet. Will it be hard to get grass seed to germinate in this soil come spring?
It really depends on how much light is in there under the evergreens. This is a challenge area. So people usually think lawn seed, but you could try lawn seed. You want to use the fine fescues that are more shade tolerant. If that doesn't work, I would really think about using some ground covers. Hosta often compete quite well under trees, even under evergreens. But there are other ground covers that you can plant. Vinca, some of the geraniums. There are native geraniums and other perennial geraniums that do very well with dry conditions like that and shade. So if you don't have to walk under that tree or really want grass there, think about ground cover as well.
If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for us this morning at 651-461-9226. Here's one I don't think we've had before, Mary. Texter says, I shredded my 2023 medical statements. Can I put this fine shredded paper in my compost?
Just regular paper. I guess you could do that. I think that wouldn't be any problem. Sometimes we're concerned about the type of ink that's used on paper, but I don't think there's any heavy metals anymore in most of our inks. So, yeah, it's shredded up it should be. Yeah, you've got to think about the proportion of what else you're putting into your compost. You know, 100% shredded paper is not going to do much out there. So you need to have some soil. You need to have some green organic matter as well.
That's a good point. Another text says this: I need to build up a couple of spots in my yard, about 4 square feet. Can I add 3 or 4 inches of soil without removing the existing grass and then put grass seed on top of that?
Yeah, this sounds like building a raised bed almost. You can do this. It won't hurt anything as long as you're not putting this on top of tree roots. You know, the trees have established their oxygen and moisture level. They've got their roots right up there on the top. If you cover up tree roots with 3 or 4 inches of soil and you do it a large area, you can kill a tree. But if there are no tree roots issues around and you just want to raise up the area and then plant seed on top of it, yes, I don't think you'll hurt anything there. Obviously, the grass is going to die that you down in the bottom, but you're going to plant new grass. So,
all right, very good.
Yeah,
I can see a lot of people doing that. Maybe this week, in fact. rabbits or deer? This texture says stripped some bark off my pear tree. I was planning on pruning it this winter, but wonder if this is still okay. Will it stress the tree?
Pruning, no, you can go ahead and prune the tree, but, you know, what you're describing sounds like the tree might be really severely damaged. You might want to wait and see what's alive with this tree and then do the pruning. But if it's an older tree, a big older tree, pruning probably will not hurt it. The younger it is, the more likely there's some damage. And rabbits really love the fruit trees. So a physical barrier, if you don't have a physical barrier and they come in and eat the bark off the tree, that can be really devastating. Sometimes the trees will actually leaf out and start to grow and then they die because there's just not that flow of water, nutrients and water from the roots. But depending on the size, you could prune a little now, or you might want to wait and see what's alive.
Very good. Mary, let's take a break. Quick one for weather. See what that forecast calls for this coming week. In the meantime, when we come back, too, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the Arboretum and answering more lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. 27 degrees. We'll have a look at that forecast next. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Mary Meyer from the U of M joining us today, answering your lawn and garden type of questions. And we have, as usual, Mary, a bunch of them. But before we get to them, you know, you and I and Mary and Teresa always like to mention the Arboretum, the Landscape Arboretum. Great place to visit, great place to bring family and friends. What's going on? I mean, we've had above normal temperatures, but cold or warm, lots going on at the Arboretum.
Yes, lots going on at the Arboretum, Denny. This is the month for the flower show out at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. This is a wonderful, beautiful event. We could see lots of beautiful flowers. It's inside, so everything looks great and wonderful. You can eat at the cafe, look at some of the gallery, but certainly filled with flowers. There's lots of interesting information about the history of the Arboretum, some great photos along with beautiful flowers that you can see. So this flower show is included with admission. Members, if you're a member of the Arboretum, you still need to get a ticket, but the flower show is free with admission into the Arboretum, so there's plenty of tickets available. There are teas, there are some other events after hours with flowers, etc., some yoga. I think there's a yoga event tomorrow at the Arboretum. wonderful to see that flower show indoors and think of spring, but still great to walk outside. The trails are open, good conditions on the 3 mile walk around the Arboretum. So yes, beautiful area to walk in.
And if you're planning on going, and I hope you do, you have to make reservations online, and it makes it so easy.
Right. It's very easy, and every half hour there are several hundred tickets available, so no problem in getting a ticket. Just do that in advance, and then, yes.
All right.
Easy to do.
Get to the Arboretum, head west on Highway 5 to 41, and you're just about there. Texter says this, Mary. With the weather forecast over the next couple of weeks, would it be beneficial to hang a sap-catching bag on my maple tree today?
Yes. So sap has already started to be collected. The Arboretum has collected over 1,000 gallons of sap already this year. Amazing. This is something we normally think happens in March, but really started in February this year. So this all depends on the temperature and the differential between the day and nighttime temperatures. So warm days, cold nights really helps the sap flow. And maples, of course, have the highest percent sugar in their sap. The Arboretum also taps birch and black walnuts, and the syrup is sold there at the Arboretum. So, yes, you can try it out now for your maple trees.
All right. We talk about bee lawns here on the show a lot. This texter says, can a bee lawn be started now with dormant overseeding on a sparse lawn? If not, when is a good time to seed a bee lawn without removing the existing lawn?
Aha, without removing the existing lawn, yes. Well, that's kind of a challenge because in order for the seed to grow, you have to have contact with soil. And if there isn't exposed soil there, it's going to be tough for any seed to germinate. The fine fescues that are recommended with the bee lawn, yes, you can dormant seed those. But the flowers that are in a bee lawn, creeping thyme and clover, those germinate better in June, in the springtime. So it's kind of a mixed bag to do both of those right now. We have a lot of information on that, flowering lawns and bee lawns, up on the extension.umn.edu website, and you can read about the timing of that. We actually did demonstrations on how to start, what the best way is to start seed, bee lawn seeds. Those demonstration plots are still out at the Arboretum. But we found that either you had to completely renovate your soil, get rid of what's there, or you had to really mow down to almost the bare soil, take off most of what's there, and then aerate it, and then seed into that. So you've got to do some work to get that soil exposed.
All right. A labor of love. Okay.
Right.
Let's grab a phone call. Maddie's calling in this morning from Coon Rapids, I believe. Maddie, good morning. What is your question for Mary?
I have real white spots all over 2 points that is in a tomato plant that I brought in. And when I go close, the spots fly. They're like little white flies, and they look like powder all over the red leaves of the poinsettias.
Oh, Maddie, you have white flies. Yes, they are exactly like you describe, right? That is an insect that likes certain plants, and when you have it in your house, it can be kind of difficult to control. So I would say that insecticidal soap is the best thing you can try to spray this with. You can buy that at the garden centers, and you spray that on the foliage of your plants that have white flies, especially the underside of the leaf, because the immature form doesn't fly, but it's sitting there tiny on the underside of the leaf. So spraying that with insecticidal soap, follow the directions that are on the label. You'll probably have to do it 2 or 3 times at intervals of 7 to 10 days to try to eliminate the white flies.
You know, Mary, well, we haven't mentioned this hour, and we always like to do that because there's so much information on the university website, extension.umn.edu. I know we don't have 3 days for you to explain what all is on there, but there's so much information on there, isn't there?
Oh, there's a lot of information, because you can start with what insect is this, what weed is this, what's wrong with my plant, depending on, as long as you know the kind of plant you have, you can determine what's wrong with my plant. You know, the first question we had was pine stress and yellow foliage on pine. So if that's all you know, you can start looking at what could be the problem with your pines. And then it goes through choices of questions and pictures you can look at to determine what's wrong with your pines. The same way with this white fly issue, you could look up white flies on tomatoes, and then you could see a picture and see if that's looks like what you have. So extension.umn.edu, a great resource.
It really is. Texter says, good morning. Good morning. I've had my amaryllis out of a dark room for about 3 weeks now. I'm getting beautiful green leaves, but no blooms. Is there a chance it may not bloom this year, and should I fertilize it?
Yes, you can fertilize it. It takes 6 to 8 weeks for an amaryllis to bloom. So it could be that it will still go ahead and bloom. If this is an amaryllis you saved from last year and it isn't a brand new one, I think the text started out by saying I brought it up or it started to grow. If it's one you had last year, it might not bloom because it might not have stored enough food to actually bloom. So it's a challenge. We try to do this to have them rebloom for us, but if you need to put it outside, it's got to get a lot of light for 2-3 months in the summer to store enough food for it to bloom again.
Okay. This listener, Mary, says, I have 2 reblooming lilac bushes, and I want to know, when is the best time of the year to trim them? They bloom approximately 3 to 4 times throughout the spring to fall.
Wow, this person is really lucky, because a lot of these reblooming lilacs don't really bloom very much. They'll bloom in the spring, and then they'll have a few blooms here and there. So this is a challenge, because normally we prune lilacs right after they bloom. Right after they bloom in the spring, if you prune them, then you're not going to cut off the blooms for next year. But the re-blooming ones tend to form buds, and they come out again, and buds, and they come out again. So it's hard to recommend pruning on a re-blooming lilac, because you're always going to be cutting off some of the blooms. So I would still say after the first bloom in the spring, prune it then. But I wouldn't do a lot of pruning, because you'll cut off more of the flowers.
This next texter, Mary, has a vole problem in the winter. They would like to do some dormant grass seeding this week, but do you think the voles, do they eat the seed?
Yes, they might eat the seed. They are vegetable eaters, so they eat plants and seed, and they like grass. They eat a lot of grass roots and grass crowns. So we often see vole tunnels, right, on not moles, but voles actually make a tunnel, and you see the depression where moles push up the soil from underneath. Voles are kind of like mice as far as treatments. You see the depression where moles push up the soil from underneath. Voles are kind of like mice as far as treatments go, traps, baits, and so on. The same thing you'd use for controlling mice. But the habitat, if you provide a habitat where they can hide in and lots of food, they really like that. So that's kind of a challenge, putting down seed that that the voles might eat.
Yeah, I should say. Yeah. Oh, a buffet. Okay. We need to take a break, Mary. Let's do that and come back on the other side. We have some remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Yes, indeed. And you can use that very number for a phone call or a text message to Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions today here on our Smart Garden Show. And we still have a bunch, Mary, so let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave today. Hi, Mary. This one says, can I still prune maple and apple trees this month, or is it too late with this odd weather this year?
You can still do that. It is it's a good time to prune trees, apple trees, yes, and maples. Now, we talked a little about the sap running in maples, so you might see some sap come out after pruning. But if it stays cool, especially cold during the daytime, you won't see the sap run. That doesn't really hurt the tree, but this is a good time of year to do pruning.
Earlier in the show, just a while back, we talked about those milk jugs and, starting seed in those. And this listener offered he or she likes to winter sow in salad containers, too.
So yes, that can work as well. Yep, either one. You could try it out. They're a little small. The salad containers are a little small. They might have a tendency to dry out, but it's worth a try. Yep.
We had an earlier question about building up the ground with 3 or 4 inches of soil. This listener says here's a kind of a follow-up to that. This is where parts of some of their river birch roots are on top of the mulch surrounding the tree and the lawn outside of the mulched area. An arborist told me, a texter says, that they should be covered with soil. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, because they're not totally exposed. You can just see the tops, the ridges of them. And some plants just like that better. I mean, there's more oxygen. There's more water. We've had such a lack of water. But tree roots really are basically in the top foot or two of soil, and they like it. Their conditions are better. So covering it up, covering the tree roots up with more soil changes that oxygen availability and can really suffocate roots. So you have to be really careful doing that. 1-2 inches at the very most, but the best thing is don't do it at all.
Okay. This listener says this, Mary. I am planting a pollinator's backyard, but my apple tree needs to be treated with a fungicide. Is this okay? The treatment is twice in the spring only.
So I imagine this fungicide is for apple scab, which is the fungal diseases. And that should not affect the pollinators. So if that's the only thing that's in the treatment that you're doing and no insecticides, that should be okay.
Okay. Another text just came in. The person who aerated my lawn also does slit seeding. Is that a good idea? That's one question. It might be the only one. He also talked about using a more tolerant seed next to the street, which is a very common problem, probably because of the salt and the snowplow treatment and all of that. So as far as aeration and slit seeding, is that a good idea?
Yes, that's a great idea. Few homeowners have access to either of those equipment that will do that. But yes, they're both very good. Aeration puts the holes in the soil and reduces compaction. And then slit seeding actually makes a slit in the soil, puts a seed in there so it has good seed-soil contact. And yes, using different types of seed along where salt is prevalent. Kentucky bluegrass especially sensitive to salt, so not using that near the salt areas is a good idea.
Okay. You've kind of addressed this a couple different times, but a listener may have joined us a little late. Good morning, this texter says. I have a crabapple tree that needs pruning, trimming, because it has tree suckers / water sprouts all over it. With this crazy weather, can I still trim it?
Yes, you can still trim it. And yes, we do see certain trees have a tendency to sucker and put out a lot of what are called water shoots or shoots near the base. Yes, you can prune those off now.
Okay. This listener said, I just heard you mention the possibility of having syrup from black walnut trees. Can you also get some from white walnut and butternut trees?
You can. What it's going to taste like and how easy it is are challenges, though, because the sugar proportion is very low in anything other than the maples. So you need a lot more sap to boil that down to get to sugar. And then what it will taste like might not be as desirable. The black walnut syrup is very interesting to taste. It has more of a nutty taste to it and hints of black walnut. I have not tasted any other syrup. I haven't tasted the birch or anything that would be from the other nuts. You can try it, but you're going to need a huge amount. You know, it's 40 gallons of maple sap to get 1 gallon of syrup. And so it's probably closer to 50 or 60 gallons of these other types of sap. That's a lot.
That's quite a ratio. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
My goodness. People love it, though. This listener, do we have time? Yes, we do. This listener wants to know, could you explain the care for amaryllis?
Yeah, so amaryllis need a lot of light. And that when they're new, the bulb is wonderful. It's got a big bud in there, and they'll always bloom when you buy them brand new. But after they flower, to getting them to reflower, they need a lot of light and several months of good, bright light conditions. So in the summertime, if you can put the bulbs outside, that's great. You can give them a dormant period. You can bring them inside like October 1st or something and let them be dormant in a cool basement for October and November, and then December 1st you start watering them again, and 6 to 8 weeks later they will flower if they've had enough light the previous summer.
Okay. Finally, a listener wants to know, does the University of Minnesota website we talk about have information about caring for lawns? Oh yeah,
a lot of it. We have the lawn calendar. Julie's done a great job with that, with, yes, what to do every month of the year with your lawn. Lots of great information, and lots of information on turf at extension.umn.edu.
And if you're looking for trees, of course, heading to the Arboretum various times of the year is, you know, to see it in real life at different times of the year is great. But if you need, like, someone's looking for various trees, and I would suggest to them that they check out the U of M website, because that's another resource there, isn't it?
Yes. There's lots of information on tree selection. So many of us have to take down the ash trees and on our property, and you really have to think about replacement trees. So we want to have diversity. We want to have a large number of different trees in our landscape. So everyone should really kind of know, how many different trees do I have on my property now? Which ones are not there? I mean, the oaks, maples are wonderful. We had questions about the honey locust. That's a great tree. Pussy willows, those are great to plant. Choke cherry, that call came in today. These are all great trees to plant.
Yeah.
I put a elm. I put a St. Croix elm in on my property because it's resistant to Dutch elm, and it's grown really wonderfully in just a few years.
So that's great.
Replacement trees, great to think about.
Do it today. Or sometime soon. Mary, thank you. Always a pleasure. I know we'll talk soon, and you have a good week, will you?
You too, Denny. Great to hear your voice and talk about gardening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Mary Meyer from the U of M. Now, get those deck questions or any other kind of a home improvement question you may have. Luke Panic, the deck and port specialist from Linda's Construction, coming up next hour. So lots of deck talk next hour here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Please stay with us.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.